gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. And we're reading from Mark chapter 4 and verses 26 to 34 in the Church Bibles 1006. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. A bit loud, I'm breathing. I have to breathe, sorry. At least for the next 10 minutes or 15 minutes. On the 10th of May, Sunday evening at 6:30, Simon Coupland, our vicar, preached on healing. I suspect that many of you weren't there for that. And during the talk, he quoted this verse, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10. I'd like to read it to you. Paul writes, "Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm going to boast about my weaknesses so the power of Christ could work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" That scripture verse resonated with me that evening and prompted me, because of my physical condition, my battles with illness, prompted me to email Simon and said, ask these questions. How can I boast about my weaknesses? How can I take pleasure in my weaknesses? It seemed to be a real question to me. Simon didn't reply straight away, but that's because he gave some thought to the answer and eventually sent me a long email, including the following quote from Tom Wright. Tom Wright is a great theologian and I think one of Simon's favourites. Tom Wright writes, "God's power and human power are not the same thing. Often human power has to be knocked out of the way altogether for God's power to be to shine through. Paul knew all about spiritual experiences, visions and revelations, but the important point is not his spirituality, but God's grace. He discovered that there is a different kind of strength, that to possess it, you have to be weak." Now, that's quite heavy stuff, but I think it makes sense. To be strong, you have to be weak. That's totally contrary to the values of our society, isn't it? In our society, if you want to be strong, you push up. If you want to be weak, if you do the weak, you push them down. You get them out of the way. And so we see a reverse, an alternative kingdom theology here coming through. To be strong is to be weak. But I still haven't answered my questions. How can I boast about my weakness? How can I take pleasure in my weakness? So Paul himself wrote this in 2 Corinthians 12. "When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling." It's an interesting side of Paul. You view Paul as this great giant of God, this man of faith, writing Romans and stuff like that. Here he is saying, "I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." This morning, I identify with this. I don't claim to have Paul's power, but I identify with his weakness. As I approach preaching these days, I do so with trepidation. Will my focus and balance, because that's a problem I have, will it enable me to speak clearly? Will my voice project? Will I lose my confidence in speaking? How will I feel? Those thoughts plague me as I come to you this morning. That's a weakness. And I want to glory in that weakness. So I reckon that as I try to identify with Paul, I might learn some answers to those questions. So the people of Corinth were easily impressed with the way people dressed and acted and their rhetoric. If you were a clever speaker, they thought you were great. Whatever you said, they thought you were great. Paul used neither. He didn't use eloquence. He didn't use particular dress codes. He just relied upon the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't take pleasure in his weakness like some kind of masochist. But he boasted in the fact that his weakness emphasized God's power and brought glory to God rather than to himself. So I think the answer to my question is this. How can I boast about my weaknesses? How can I take pleasure in my weaknesses? By understanding that God's power works best in my weakness, that in Christ I'm at my strongest when I am weak, and utterly dependent on him. So this should be good this morning, because I'm feeling physically and emotionally weak. So therefore, if I allow God's strength to come through, the bit I want to speak next may hopefully be powerful, not in my power, in his power. So let's look at that passage in 2 Corinthians that was read to us by Gillian. You did it really well, Gillian, as well. Thank you so much. So let's look at it again, or this particular bit, verses 4 to 10. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, in hunger, in purity, understanding patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness on the right hand and the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing yet possessing everything. What an experience he had. I want to just look for a few minutes at Paul's hardships and then Paul's character in those hardships. And somewhere in the middle of that, ask the question how your hardships and my hardships compare to Paul's. So let's look at that list again. Here we go. Sorry, didn't turn that over. Troubles. He experienced trouble. His life was full of trouble. Most of us avoid trouble. We can see a situation developing where there could be trouble. We try and avoid it or walk away from it. Distresses. His life was full of distress. Pressure was on him in all sorts of ways. He suffered beatings. Didn't get verbal beatings. He was physically beaten up. He was imprisoned on more than one occasion. Riots followed him around because of what he preached and taught. He endured sleepless nights and hunger and dishonor, bad things being said about him, regarded as an impostor. He experienced sorrows and poverty. Do a checklist. Where do you fit on that? How many of those things are true for you? Are you free of going home? You going to go home and have lunch today? We're not hungry. Have you got enough food in the bank? Food in the bank? Money in the bank? We're not poor, are we, really? Not by comparisons to other people in the world. Paul experienced all these hardships, all these emotions. Certainly whatever I feel, whatever I sense, whatever I've experienced in my life is nothing compared to Paul's. So look at his character. He's a man of purity, a man of understanding. That's not an association we make with Paul often. He said things, really strong things, that people think he doesn't understand where people are. He understood all right. He had patience. He needed to. He had kindness. He had the power of God in the Holy Spirit. He had sincere love and truthful speech. He had righteousness, and he was genuine. He didn't say one thing and do another. He lived out what he taught and what he said. He was genuine. He was always rejoicing. He's making others rich. Isn't that a wonderful statement? Poor, yet making many rich. Can I honor Fiona this morning? You know Fiona. She went through what she went through with Andrew's illness and death. And to us in the church, she was poor, but she made us rich. Isn't that true, folks? You made us rich by the way you dealt with that situation and the way you worked through it. We honor you for that. I honor you for that anyway this morning. A modern-day example of Paul in the moment of conflict, a character came through. I just wanted to say that. And having nothing yet, possessing everything. So despite the hardships, Paul lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. This enabled him to make right choices and to bring blessing to the lives of others. But it goes on. Paul wrote this. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And who remembers the Living Bible? Anybody remember the Living Bible? It's kind of, the Message is pretty out of fashion, but the Living Bible renders this verse this way. I'll show it to you. We are pressured on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do, but we don't give up and quit. We're hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Or as, if you like, we get knocked out. We get knocked down like a boxer, but we don't get knocked out. We get back up again and continue the battle. And the key to all of this, I believe, is the Holy Spirit. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I want us to pray this morning. I'm going to pray and then come back and say a little bit more. So it's not quite the end. I want us to pray for the come Holy Spirit. It's a prayer we use often. But as this morning, if we look at our lives and see the troubles, the hardships that we might experience, minor compared to Paul's, but real to us, because they're real issues in our life. They affect us in all sorts of ways. They affect our friends and our family and our relationships. So as we just ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us, I want to talk about our relationship with God and one final thing to say after that. So let's pray together for a moment. Just bow our heads, close our eyes if we can. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come this morning in a new way. You're here already, but come afresh. Come and empower us. Come and focus our eyes. Come and straighten our thinking. Come and give us understanding to our circumstances. And this morning, we those of us who acknowledge that there is pressure in our lives, there is tension, there is stress, there is hardship of some sort. Life is unfair to us, perhaps. Life has treated us roughly. I know it's true of one person sitting in this room this morning. Life is not fair for them. I just pray, Lord, now by the Holy Spirit, you'll come and bless us, minister to us, go deep into our experiences. Give us a perspective of you. Keep our eyes on you at this time. In Jesus' name. And while we just keep our eyes closed, because I just want to read something to you, because I felt it was possible that someone this morning was struggling with their relationship with God. And these words, quoting from a book, says this: "It is possible in times of difficulty that a relationship with God will deepen and strengthen, but it is also possible that we'll find ourselves pulling away from God. We may find ourselves angry with God or afraid of God or unable to believe in God at all. When the very foundation of our lives are being shaken, we may feel as if we are leaving God. What we need to know in times like this is that God is a waiting Father. He will wait for us, and he waits with love and eager anticipation, not with anger or frustration or impatience." Father God, this morning, remind us, remind me, remind each one of us that at times when we feel away from you, you're not away from us. At times when we struggle with life and life circumstances, nevertheless you come and say, "I'm here, I love you, I care for you, I long for you to come back." And you don't do it in anger or rejection or whatever, anything like that. You just come and accept us because you're a great God of love. So come this morning. Anybody here this morning whose relationship with you is damaged or struggling or stressed or pressured or weak or non-existent even, come afresh. Remind us of who you are. Remind us of what you do. Remind us of your promises that you will keep us and you will not let us go. In Jesus' name, amen. And during this week, last week, I received an email from Caroline in the office to say, "Peter, there are four large boxes of your papers," which I completely forgot when I left office 2 years ago. So I came and started sorting them out. And you know the problem with old papers, you start reading them, don't you? You get delayed. And I found this quote, and I thought I'd leave it with you this morning. "Stop telling God how big your storm is. Instead, tell your storm how big your God is. God is big, bigger than me, bigger than you, bigger than our storms." God bless you.